Welcome to the Plant Spirit Podcast on connecting with plant consciousness and the healing wisdom of nature. I'm your host, Sarah Artemisia, and I am deeply honored to introduce our next guest to the show today. Suhaili Bautista Carolina, Moon Mother, is an Afro-Cuscan herbalist, artist, educator, and community organizer. And she's the founder of Moon Mother Apothecary, a practice and offering of heart-centered, moon-powered medicines created in the traditional wisdom and knowledge of her ancestors. So Suhaili, thank you so much for joining us today. Just so deeply honor you and your work in the world.
Thanks so much, Sarah. I'm so glad to be in conversation with you today and always.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so appreciate that. One of the plants that we were just talking about before we got on today was lemon balm. And so I was curious if we could just start there. Could you tell us a bit about the medicine and messages that you're hearing and feeling from lemon balm right now?
Yes. I became obsessed with lemon balm in my spiritual herbalism apprenticeship at Sacred Vibes Apothecary here in Brooklyn, New York. I actually didn't walk with this plant. I walked with violet instead, which is another appropriate plant, I think. I'm smiling because you know me and I feel like you know violet, and it made a lot of sense. And I was walking with violet as I was pregnant and just established a really deep relationship with this flower and plant. And I learned so much and continue to learn so much from that plant. But when it came time to do my culminating project, I felt more called towards lemon balm. And I always thought it was interesting that I ended up making a lot of medicine with lemon balm when I was in actuality walking with this entirely other plant. And it was really beautiful because in my study of lemon balm, my teacher, Karen Rose, asked us to imagine lemon balm as a scene where the full moon lights up the ocean. And it has always stuck with me, that imagery of the full moon light rippling over the ocean waves in the darkness has always really called to me. And my daughter's name, Luna, and her middle name, Kai, actually translates to moon ocean. And so I always just associate this plant with her and with her energy of being the lightest thing in the dark, the full light in the dark. And this is why lemon balm calls to me, because I think that even in the scariest, darkest moments, we always have this light, you know, shining above us. And lemon balm always feels like that to me, like a lighthouse or like a beacon, like a star, like a satellite, like something that's always there with you. And it has taught me so much about consistency and ritual and cycles and energy and illumination and just all of these ideas that I'm constantly sort of letting go of and then having to be reminded to come back to the same way, right? The same ocean ebb and flow. This happens to be with lemon balm so consistently. And it is one of the medicines that is always on our nightstand. It's the medicine Luna takes every night before she goes to bed. And so she's also deepening her relationship with lemon balm. And sometimes if I miss her or, you know, she's not here, so she wasn't here today. And right before our call today, I felt called to lemon balm. And it's probably because she's not home today, you know, because my spirit needed something that was, you know, reminding me of her and bringing her back to me. So this is what lemon balm, I think, brings to me and offers me. And I'm just always deeply grateful to be communing with lemon balm in this really special way.
That's amazing. love what you just shared there about, first of all, everything that Lemon Balm offers and yeah, has supported you with and so many. And it really speaks to the power of plants bringing these really incredible qualities forward in our lives, and how in these challenging times where there is so much chaos, tragedy, grief, strife. I mean, this has been happening always on the planet since the beginning of humanity, and like extra right now, it's just so extra in our faces right now, that working with someone like Lemon Balm, of bringing this light into the darkness, consciously calling that in, consciously working with Lemon Balm to do this is so powerful. And I'm curious, in your experience, working with the plant realm really help us to deepen our practice and our connection to our life's work in the midst of all of this chaos and upheaval that's happening right now?
That's a great question. And I'm thinking a lot about death these days, as you know, and deepening my practice and the ways in which I'm able to do that through the power and the magic and the wisdom of plants. I think sometimes it happens in these really beautiful and subtle ways, right? Like I was telling you, Sarah, a story of me walking through Central Park very recently, and it's spring in New York City, and I think all New Yorkers are feeling that very deeply and longing for the opportunity to be outside and just to breathe fresh air and you know, to get back to doing the things that we love to do outside of our homes. And for me, one of those things is walking through nature. I'm walking through this park in particular, and I saw the first very young buddings of a cherry blossom tree, and it made me laugh, it made me cry, because I'm just constantly reminded in these very subtle ways about hope and having faith and understanding that there's always change on the horizon, that something is never the same for always, right? And I think that we get stuck, especially as you said, in these very difficult and challenging and harrowing times, in that moment and never seeing a way out of that darkness, right? And that nature, being in nature and being with these plants and being a witness to their cycles and to their lives is such a gift, right? Because it's a reminder of all of the potential that is in this realm, that all of the potential that is in this life, all of the things that are available to us, right? So it was just so beautiful to kind of just be walking and be noticing, and to get a message that's that clear and that deep and that resonates so much in this particular time is always divine to me. And to be able to take that and walk away with that message, just from the strength of a 15-minute walk through a park, is again the way that these plants give forever. Yeah, so sometimes it's as subtle as that. And then sometimes it's deeply intentional. As you said, sometimes it is, I know that I have lemon balm with me, or I have chamomile with me, or I have lavender with me. Those are actually three really important plants in my home that bring us back to each other, to ourselves, to our need to rest, to our attention, to our nervous systems, to our sleep patterns. These are plants that offer us stability in some ways, right? And ritual, right? There's a way in which we go to sleep, we prepare for bedtime every night. And these plants are part of our ritual. They're part of our experience every evening, every night. And every time we don't have them or they're not available to us, something feels missing. Something's missing, right? So they're very much a part of our intentions to stay grounded, of our intentions to sleep and rest more, of our intentions to care, not just for our bodies and our systems, but for each other, right? And because there's a way that Luna will give me some, you know, she'll feed herself the tincture, but she'll also give me some, and she'll also give Mama some. And I just love that we're nourishing this relationship to the plants with her, and that she, of course, very naturally receives that invitation. And I think I witness get so much out of those rituals and out of that routine. Yeah. And it just feels so rich. So I think sometimes it's seemingly happening by accident in these very beautiful and subtle ways. And then sometimes I think when we deepen our intention to practice with these plants and really get to know them and speak with them and understand them and allow them to change and show us who they are, we release this. I don't know, I almost felt my shoulders drop as I said the word release, but there is a letting go, a surrendering that happens to their medicine. And it helps us be more open to receiving the messages that really are trying to come through, right? And everything small is a reflection of the large, right? Like everything that's happening in my bed, in my room, in my apartment, in this city, in this one state of this one country in the world is such a, to me, it's a mirror of things that are happening all over the world. And so I take it very seriously. I take everything that happens in this space very seriously because I know that I'm not alone in my experience, in my needs, in my relationship to these plants, and in understanding what they can offer beyond my very close family unit. So yeah, I think that's really inspired me to think about the ways in which my practice is about me and about my daughter and about my wife and about my community, because this is where I get to practice the way I want to be in the world, the way I want us to experience plants. I get to model and practice the world that I want to live in, and that I do not take that responsibility or that work lightly at all.
Yeah, I totally feel that too. The being on the plant path is ultimately this invitation to practice how we want to be in this world. And every moment is an invitation. The plants are holding us to it, inviting us into every moment. I mean, even just before this call, we were talking about the invitation of the plants to really deepen in this space of vertical alignment, of deeply connecting with the roots, with the experience of expansiveness in a vertical way rather than a spreading out. And are there any plants that you work with that really help in particular to really help us come into the vertical alignment and to deepen in the roots? Also, I'm curious to hear a bit about how does working with plants in general support this experience of deepening?
Yes, this is where I'm at. This is the depth. That's where I'm at. I share everyone in the world who knows me must know that my moon is in Scorpio because I talk about this all the time. I think I wanted to start an Instagram actually that was called Scorpio Moon, but it's taken. Someone has that. Someone beat me to Scorpio Moon. But, you know, Scorpio Moon is all about depth. And I think I might be obsessed with depth, with this idea, this concept of going as far as possible and into the unknown, into the beyond the furthest that we've ever done. You know, when I was a young girl, I actually wanted to be an astrophysicist. And it wasn't because I was good at science at all. I actually am obsessed with science and always have been. I guess I'm really talking about math. I was not very good at math, and the equations ultimately got the best of me. But I was really obsessed with this idea of outer space because it was so unknown to me. And even beyond all of the expertise and all of the research and everything that we know about outer space, there's just so much more that we don't know. And that really fascinated me. And I was sharing with you, Sarah, that I'm obsessed with Mae Jemison, who was the first Black woman to venture into outer space, and how I'm also equally and most recently obsessed with Andrea Motley Crabtree, who was the first Black woman deep sea diver in the U.S. Army. And so these two Black women decided that they were going to go into these unknown depths for the first time and just see what happened. And I just, one, the courage and the bravery that is required to take that leap is where I'm at in my practice. It is where I find myself in my relationship to my practice, is this idea that in order to deepen my practice, I really do need to hone in. I really do need to focus. I really do need to kind of decide what are the areas of my work that I'm going to really, really close my eyes and focus on, and let the rest sort of fall at, you know, let it fall where it may, but that I have these kind of focal points. And just as you said, going vertically, going deep and down. And that always reminds me of the darkness, because there is a part of that work where you kind of have to, I mean, isolate yourself in order to really listen, right? It's like, it is the same feeling you get when you plunge yourself into the ocean and you can no longer hear everything that's happening in the world. Now you are just with yourself, and that very sort of muted sound, I can almost hear it in my head right now, of like only hearing your own voice or only hearing what you are supposed to hear at that level, wherever that may be. So I spent a lot of time in the beginning of my work focused on, I don't know if I would call it the wrong things, but I was definitely more focused on spreading myself out and making sure that as many people as possible had access to my medicine and that I could speak to as many people in a workshop as possible. It was just go, 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 spread, figure out how to like speak to the masses. And there came a point in my work where I kind of said to myself, like, I questioned whether that was how I wanted my medicine to be in the world, you know. And I thought about it, like, if you have 100% of your energy or 100% of this plant medicine, do you want everybody to get 1%? What impact would that have if Sarah only ever tasted one sip of my tea versus if Sarah had a full package experience that was catered to her, that really supported her in her wellness and healing journey, and that we could form that relationship and deepen what Sarah's relationship to these three plants could be, right? Versus, you know, hey, everybody tasted it once and all, that was cute, but we forgot about it the next day, you know? And so, yeah, and I know that in my study, the roots of plants have always been very integral to this work. So recently I find myself gravitating towards roots, to working with roots and figuring out what I can learn from them. I've definitely been working with ginger, which makes a lot of sense for me because I'm a very fiery person. And I think of ginger as a fiery plant, but also astragalus, right? Root in particular, it has been such a supportive and nourishing herb for me, and definitely something that a plant that I definitely see as one that allows me and invites me to slow down, you know, and to support my most essential needs. And I say that because I find myself using the root in the way that I nourish myself, right? So like, you know, putting this plant in my smoothies, or like, but it also guarantees that I'm eating, or like putting it in broths or foods that are really supportive of my energy, right? Of like, how much can I sustain myself in this work in order to be able to be the person, the herbalist that I want to be in my community and the herbalist that I want to be in my family. I have to be whole. And it just reminds, I think that being in relationship with a plant like astragalus always reminds me of like my wholeness, my nourishment, a return to self, and begs me to ask myself, what do I need? What do I need to make it through this day? And I know a lot of us are kind of getting through. I know in my experience, I'll speak from my experience, many of my people right now are just trying to do that. You know, we're trying to get through the day. And what are the things that can support us in ensuring that we stay whole in these days? So I think those are some of the always oat straw. I know that's not a root, but oat straw is another herb that helps people who are frayed at the edges, I think, is how I learned my relationship to this plant. And a lot of us, I think, are in that place where we're feeling frayed at the edges. And so lots of nourishing plants that support our most basic needs are really important, I think, in these times.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing that. Oat straw, love it. Absolutely. We should all be working with oat straw right now. And just that reminder of coming back to wholeness, to nourishment, to the return to the self, that is absolutely essential right now. Essential. And that the plants help us do this. And what a gift that they give constantly to help us do this. So yeah, thanks for sharing that with us. And yeah, clearly your work with the plants is so powerful and so deep, and so honor that in you. And I was curious if you could tell us about your workshop coming up, the Mother of All Lands, Plants of Power, Purpose, and Resistance in Kiskeya. It sounds incredible.
Thank you so much. I am pouring all of myself, so much of myself, into the preparation for this workshop, because in many ways I do feel that this is my personal work. This is so much about my ancestry and so much about my people and my lineage, and I want to do it justice. And so I am really, really, you know, focused on how to best surface the things that I really want to express. And so much of what I want to do in this workshop is demonstrate the unity of this island and the sort of systems that are at play in dividing a people that to me are one. And so I want to go back to like pre-colonial times on this island and what this island offered its people in the area of medicine and plants, and how the magic that remains on the island through these plants is part of both cultures, both Haitian culture and Dominican culture till this day. And it's because it is one island. And so I want to really draw attention to that. I want to talk a lot about the diaspora and the ways in which we have evolved, I think, our relationship to these plants, even once we've gotten to new lands. So like, what does it mean to leave your island where you are familiar with certain plants and the ways that you use them, and then find yourself in a new land where you have to adapt and figure out what the alternatives are, or, you know, figure out what the informal systems are that make these plants accessible again for you in this new land. So Mother of All Lands is actually the translation of Quisqueya, which is the name of the island before it became the Dominican Republic and Haiti, respectively. So Quisqueya is the Taino word for the entire island. And I love that it's Mother of All Lands. I love that there's this mothering energy. I feel so connected to it myself, of course, through Moon Mother. And just this idea of the mother hugging both kids, just like there is nothing I don't love one more than the other. And I don't know, there's something about the translation of the original name of the island that is a reminder of the richness that lives on both sides of this imaginary border. And so we'll talk about some of the plants that persisted, that remain on the island, the ways in which they are used, some of the forces that are at play and kind of threaten some of these very precious plants, some of which are only found on this island in all of the world. There are very many unique species on Quisqueya, and I'm very excited about getting deep. I don't think 3 hours is going to be enough, but but I do see this as such a portal into the work that I know that I need to do. And so, I don't know, I might make it to the Dominican Republic in the coming weeks to really sink my feet into the soil and find inspiration in the land. Even though I know it lives in me, it's not, I can do that. This work is in my mind, in my spirit, in my blood. But there's something calling me to kind of just be there and see and bring, there's something that I feel and I know that I need to bring back. I'm not sure that it's for this workshop necessarily, although this workshop is a really beautiful occasion and a calling, but yeah, I hope it will be an opening and for me, another deepening into my practice.
Amazing. Well, first of all, I mean, the thing that you're just talking about, that power and this vital energy connection of standing somewhere with the feet, of connecting into a place through the feet, there is something, it's unparalleled. We can't get that any other way. There are so many ways to connect with so many vast multitudes of things in this life. And that is unparalleled. feeling the essence of a place through the feet. Unparalleled. So yeah, that's just amazing that you'll be doing that. And this class sounds absolutely incredible. Is it online or is it in person or?
Yes, it's online.
Awesome.
It's being hosted by my dear, dear and talented friends at Urban Cura. So if you just visit Urban Cura, you can sign up for the workshop, or it's also on my own website at moonmotherapothecary.com. And if you go to the Engage tab, you will find the workshop there. There are scholarships available. I believe the tickets are sliding scale. So there are lots of different ways to participate. And if you join the workshop, you also get a resource package after so that you can continue your learning around the subject matter. But Urban Cura hosts incredible workshops with some really, really fantastic plant people around so many different topics that, yeah, I mean, you want to talk about deepening. I feel like this platform really supports that. So yeah, I hope some of you can join. And if not, I'm sure there will be so many different opportunities in the future for more plant medicine education.
Amazing. Also, Haley, thank you so much for sharing that, for joining us today, for sharing about your deep love and connection with the plants. Just, yeah, so honor you and your work, your journey with our friends, the green ones. It's just absolutely amazing. And yeah, before we go, tell us so people can find you on your website, moonmotherapothecary.com. Where else can people find you as well?
Yeah, I've not broken up with Instagram yet, so you can still find me there at moonmotherapothecary. And yeah, I think the link in my bio has so many goodies for all of us, like a new moon mixtape, and you can sign up for my newsletter, The Last Quarter. So many, many different ways to engage with the medicine of the moon. I'll also be creating a zine about moon medicine, and that'll be available on Ethel's Club in the coming weeks. So I'm excited for that project. There's just so much going on. I'm also partnering with Brooklyn Grange for a herbal CSA this season, which I'm very excited about because I get to experiment with lots of different types of medicines that I want to play with this year. And so if you're in New York and you are already getting your CSA veggies, you can add on an herbalism share and work with some really delicious plant medicines this season. So that's another way, several different ways. And I appreciate you asking. Thank you.
Amazing. Yeah. And I just highlighting there your deep connection to the moon medicines. It's like in literally every single thing that you do. So yeah, thank you so much for bringing that forward. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful to speak with you about all the things, but in particular with our favorite topic, the plants.
Totally. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Sahili.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for listening and joining us today on the Plant Spirit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and please follow to subscribe, leave a review, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.